Did Aragorn want to become king? In the films, it seems not initially, but what about the books? Let's take a look. Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. If you like theories, background, history and lore about The Lord of the Rings, A Song of Ice and Fire and The Witcher, this is the place for you. Welcome. Aragorn was rightful king of Arnor and Gondor, but did he want it? Watching the films, it seems not sometimes. He seems to be unsure of his own abilities and strength of character, and in particular, weighed down by his ancestor Isildur's weakness at taking the One Ring when he had the chance to destroy it. Arwen basically has to persuade him that he is Isildur's heir, not Isildur himself, so he is not bound to his fate. Which is a little unfair on book Isildur, but that's the topic of another video. The point here is that that conversation between Aragorn and Arwen did not happen in the book, and would not have happened. In the films, a decision was made that Aragorn needed a bit more of a character arc to greater engage more casual viewers, culminating in him finally embracing his role as king. Connected to this, he also changed through the film from self-sacrificially wanting Arwen to leave Middle-earth and retain her immortality, to gladly marrying her and respecting her decision to choose a mortal life. This arc meant that he needed to start off uncertain about being king before gradually embracing his destiny, which seemed to work well enough for most movie audiences. But as I said, it's very different in the books. In the books, Aragorn didn't know who he was until he was 21. Then, in the space of 24 hours, his entire life changed. He had been raised in Rivendell as Estelle, and told no hint of his kingly inheritance. Then Elrond took him to one side and explained it all to him, giving him the Ring of Barahir and the Shards of Narsil, his family inheritances. He kept back the Scepter of Annúminas, however, the symbol of the kings of Arnor, saying he had yet to earn that. Aragorn then, filled with hope, we're told, so not burdened down by this new knowledge, retired to a quiet place to drink it all in. Which is when Arwen walked in and he fell instantly in love. His becoming a ranger was not then an avoidance of his fate, so much as an acceptance of it. The Dunedain Rangers of the North had long been led by Aragorn's ancestors as chieftains and effective kings in exile. Aragorn was patrolling the land of his northern kingdom and protecting the people who still lived there from encroaching evil, encroaching wargs or other dark beasts. His journey south to Gondor and the time he spent there aiding steward Ecthelion II was also, therefore, about him discovering the lands that were rightfully his and serving the people there. His daring raid on the ships of the Corsairs of Umber certainly played a role in holding back the tide of evil for a time. Yes, he was in disguise at the time as Thorongil, but that was more about the time not yet being right for him to claim the throne than him not wanting it or thinking it wasn't rightfully his. And to add to all of this, we get a final incentive. Returning from that long trip, Aragorn lingered for a season in Lothlórien, where he spent some time with Arwen. She pledged herself to him, and Elrond gave his permission for them to marry, on one condition. They could only marry when Aragorn was king of Arnor and Gondor. That may sound like a harsh condition, and it had a particularly harsh precedent. When, back in the First Age, Beren the human and Lúthien the half-Maia elf wanted to marry, her father would only grant permission if Beren brought him one of the Silmarils. Given that, at the time, they were in Morgoth's crown, and he never left the depths of his fortress, that was seen to be an impossible task. But Beren and Lúthien, and Húan, of course, did it anyway. That was the precedent for Elrond's response to another human wanting to marry an elf, giving him a hard task to prove his worth. The twist here is that Elrond seemingly wanted and expected Aragorn to succeed. Aragorn also obviously wanted to marry Arwen. There were no second thoughts in the book, so he now also had a very personal incentive to be crowned king. I suspect that some may see the following nearly four decades of Aragorn being a ranger in the north, then helping Gandalf hunt for Gollum in the east and south, as evidence perhaps of some hesitation on Aragorn's part. But personally, I can't see any evidence of that. Indeed, when we first meet Aragorn, and the hobbits aren't sure whether to trust him or not, he happily quotes to them the verse that Gandalf had written in his note, "All that is gold does not glitter, not all those who wander are lost." That verse also talks about the blade that was broken and the crownless again being king. He tells them his true name, shows them the broken sword, and says the verse is about him. He may be secretive with less discreet people like dear Barleyman, but to the hobbits he proudly tells them who he is and that he will be king. When we get to the Council of Elrond, there is no angry confrontation with Legolas telling Boromir that Aragorn is his rightful king. In fact, it's Bilbo getting a bit indignant that Boromir doesn't know who Aragorn is, and Aragorn calmly just acknowledging who he is, even though he doesn't look particularly noble right then. "Little," he says, "do I resemble the figures of Elendil and Isildur as they stand carven in their majesty in the halls of Denethor. I am but the heir of Isildur, not Isildur himself." Of course, that's the line Arwen uses in the films to encourage Aragorn not to be afraid of being king. Here, it's him telling the heir to the steward of Gondor that he is his king. Quite a change. Aragorn also uses that moment to explain a little of why he had been so secretive about his identity before then. First, because the time hadn't been right. He says, "Now the world is changing once again. A new hour comes. Isildur's bane is found. Battle is at hand. The sword shall be reforged. I will come to Minas Tirith." But also because staying a secret helped him keep the people of Bree and the areas of former Arnor safe. "Travellers scowl at us," he says, "and countrymen give us scornful names. Strider I am to one fat man who lives within a day's march of foes that would freeze his heart or lay his little town in ruin if he were not guarded ceaselessly. Yet we would not have it otherwise. If simple folk are free from care and fear, simple they will be, and we must be secret to keep them so. That has been the task of my kindred, while the years have lengthened and the grass has grown." I'll admit to wanting to defend Barleyman a bit here. When the Nazgul turned up at his door, his heart did not freeze. No, he told them to be off and slammed the door on them, and protected the hobbits and his inn as best he could, like a hero. But I digress. Aragorn had his reasons for not being open with the world about who he was, and it was nothing to do with him hiding from his destiny or duties. Quite the opposite. And it has to be said, from the Council of Elrond onward, that there seems little doubt that Aragorn fully embraces his identity, and was proud of it, too. When he is challenged by Éomer, he introduces himself with a dramatic flourish, like this. "Aragorn threw back his cloak. The elven sheath glittered as he grasped it, and the bright blade of Anduril shone like a sudden flame as he swept it out. 'Elendil,' he cried, 'I am Aragorn, son of Arathorn, and am called Elessar, the Elfstone, Dunedain, the heir of Isildur, Elendil's son of Gondor. Here is the sword that was broken and is forged again. Will you aid me or thwart me? Choose swiftly.'" He similarly asserts his kingly identity in the court of King Théoden, to the dead men of Dunharrow, and to Sauron himself through the Palantiri. There is no hiding here. He now wants the world to know that he is the returning king, which brings with it a clear implication that he wants to be king. At which point we should probably pause to acknowledge that we are probably asking a slightly wrong question here, because seeking rulership and power is not always a good thing in Tolkien's world. In fact, if you want power for its own sake, that is almost always bad. Sauron wanted power. Saruman wanted power. No, this is not a matter of Aragorn wanting to be king, per se. He didn't eagerly seek it so much as see it as a duty he was honoured to have. Aragorn saw kingship as a service, not as a means to get power. Which, to bring us back around to where we started all this, is perhaps part of the reason why Tolkien had Aragorn wait all that time, to help show that this wasn't about Aragorn wanting power, or to rule for its own sake. He was happy for decades to serve the people of Bree without them knowing it, or the people of Gondor as Thorongil, doing great service and then not returning to receive the honour Tolkien says was awaiting him at Minas Tirith. He shows his humility. Yes, Aragorn wanted to be king in the book, but not so that he could live like a king or have the power of a king. It was because he saw it as his destiny and his duty to rule, and to rule wisely and with a servant's heart, which he then did. If you'd like to see more Lord of the Rings videos like this, there's a link to my playlist on the left of your screen now. Or to support this channel, thank you, there's a link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen. Thanks for watching. That's all for this time. I'll see you again soon.